first reading for today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 could be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Today's text is something that brings a very important message to us regarding a certain aspect of our life, and this is the judgment when it's coming, what we're going to face, what we're going to all have to deal with. It's a message concerning our right and our wrong, our guilt and our innocence. It has to do with our punishment and salvation, our deliverance, as well as our destruction. And as we hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, a story that is pretty well known, we consider for a moment, what about us? That's where we are now. What about us? This is the time we have to look at. We know what took place for Sodom and Gomorrah. We know why it took place. We know that nothing like that ever happened again. But what about us? What about now? As we look around the world today, what if God said he was going to come and destroy the city of Arlington, Fun Central, unless he could find 50 righteous people? Is he going to find 50 righteous people in the city of Arlington? Let's change that. Let's come down to the church. Let's say right here at Holy Cross. Do we have 50 people who would be willing to stand up and say that you are righteous before God right here and right now? Would you be willing to do that? To declare yourself as being righteous before the Lord? The outcome for Sodom and Gomorrah was, as the plea came out, there were not 50, there were not 45, there were not 30, there were not 20, there were not even 10. Abraham pled, he made the plea, "Lord, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous, are you? We've got Lot's house here, come on, let me find just 50 more. All the way down to, would you settle if I can find 10? And there weren't 10 outside of the house of Lot. We know that they were not righteous people. What we have to deal with is the question, are we righteous people? Are we able to stand before the judge of all the earth as Abraham was trying to present people? Would Abraham be able to present us before the judge of the earth, before the judge of all? The Lord is the one that is hearing the case. The Lord is the one that is waiting, and the Lord is the one that is listening. And I guess he could say to us, okay, call your first witness. Let's hear you present a case of how you might think you might be righteous. Because to tell the truth, there are a whole lot of people who probably believe that they could stand up and say that they're righteous before God. And maybe no one here is willing to say that aloud, but maybe we might even think that at times in our own lives, that we are righteous before God. But what witnesses would we bring? Because if we call a witness is supposed to tell the truth and the whole truth, right? So as long as they are talking about all those wonderful things about us, we're good. But then they're going to have to tell those other things that they know that aren't so good. Those things that we've done wrong, maybe the lies that we told, or the lack of compassion that we showed in certain instances, or our insincerities at times, or how we dealt harshly with some particular situation. And when the witness is dismissed, what are we going to hear? Probably guilty as charged. We're not righteous before the Lord. So instead of calling witnesses, let's back off of calling other witnesses. We'll just present ourselves as our own witness. That'll be safe, right? We'll just stand up before the Lord and say what went on. We'll talk about how we made offerings at church. Oh, in our attendance at church, Lord. Although I heard some people skipped while I wasn't here. I have the attendance records, you know, folks. Those things you sign, and we'll find you. What do we say? Look at my attendance, Lord. Look at my Bible study time. Look at my devotion time. Look at my prayer time, Lord. Look at the time I spent serving you and praising you and helping out in the church. And Lord, wow, didn't I do good? And the Lord's going to look at us. And then we have to remember the Lord can see all of us. And the Lord's been with us throughout all of our lives, not just when we thought we were doing good. God's been there all of the time. And He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts better than we're willing to say that we understand our hearts. Because we can say, oh yeah, our heart's with you, Lord, but He knows the fullness of the truth and the times that we failed and the things that we've done. And the ways that our minds have wandered from His truth and sought after other truths, and the ways that we've tried to go with the ways of the world instead of the ways of Christ, and the ways that we've tried to okay the things that were being done in and around our lives by others because we love them so much we want to just look the other way. And the ways we've hoped that others would look the other way when we've done things in our lives that went against the truth of God. In the way God wanted us to live our lives. And we stand before God, and He knows our prejudices, He knows our insincerities, He knows the time that we've been half-hearted, He knows the time that we've been false about what we've spoken, and we've said one thing and done something else. We've claimed a belief and we've shown none. And we hear the Lord decree one more time, guilty as charged. Maybe we wouldn't make such a good witness for ourselves before the Lord. But Abraham asked, will the judge of the earth do what is right? As if Abraham himself knows what that is. The answer would be, of course, yes. The Lord of the earth is going to do what's right. The God of all creation does what's right. Because whatever God does is right. Now, that's a hard one to swallow for a lot of people in life. But whatever God has done is right, and whatever God has said is right. We have to go with what God says, not with what we believe. Unless we believe what God says fully and faithfully. Because God is always right. There's a man I know in Colorado who used to always say, and he said it kind of jestingly, but he said it also kind of seriously. If the Lord doesn't come soon and do something with us soon, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we think about the way the world is, not far from right. Because everything that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah has gone on since Sodom and Gomorrah. And in places of the world, varying degrees, of course, but it's going on today. And the Lord has not called us home yet. He's giving us time. Now, we don't have to agree with God for God to be right. We don't have to understand what God has said for God to be right. What we have to do is accept. And even in belief, even though there is sometimes this doubt in our belief, accept what God has said is right, and that there is no other right. And whatever God says of us, and whatever God expects of us, is what we are to do and how we're to follow Him. We give ourselves fully to God according to His Word, by His Word, and by no other authority than His Word. We don't have to agree. God doesn't ask us to agree either. You know, the clay and the potter, this is the illustration from Scripture we get. Has the potter no right to do with the clay what he will? The potter can form the clay, can make the clay into anything he wants. The clay doesn't get to object. And so whatever God has shaped us into being, however God has created us, if we want to even lay down some objections, Lord, I've got an objection, Lord, you can't hold this against me because this is just the way I was made. You can't hold this against me, God, because this is just the way that I feel. You can't hold this against me, God, because this is just the way that you made me. Pointing it right back to Him. And God will say, yes, I did. But I made you first to follow me, to love me, and to give yourself to me. Objection overruled. Still guilty as charged. And then in the midst of these objections, and in the midst of calling the witnesses, we might realize that there's one more objection that we need to make. And that's to ourselves. Because we need to recognize, we need to object to how we have turned away from God. We need to object to the sins in our own lives and the ways that we have failed the Lord and not lived up to the promises that we made to Him. And we need to object to the sinfulness that still rules our lives, that wants us to try and have others look the other way. And at times to confound the issue so that we come out smelling like roses when we're quite the opposite. We need to object to our own sinfulness and then call the last witness. And it's the witness that we should have probably called in the first place, and that's this man named Jesus, a God, who will come before the Father, come before the eternal judge and say, I died for this one. I gave my life for this one. And I forgave this one, and this one, and this one, and a matter of fact, all of those in between those two. I gave myself for them. And because of what I did, and because of how I lived my life, and because of how I gave my life for theirs. I don't want to keep that to myself. And Jesus gives it to us. And the Lord looks at us once again and says, not guilty. Case dismissed. You're free to live. You're free to go. In that freedom now, knowing that we deserve death, knowing the punishment that we deserve, how will we live our lives from this point on? What will we do? Think about the person who truly gets that second chance in life. And quick survey of the room. I don't think anyone in here has ever been charged with murder. I know some folks that have. In here? No, not that I know of, but imagine if you had been. Imagine standing before the judge and all the evidence pointing against you. And then for the sake of one witness, you're declared innocent. The case is dismissed, or even better, not guilty and innocent, then just dismissed, because it says, no, this can't ever be held against you. And you're free. How do you treat that one witness? How do you love that one witness? What would you do for that one witness that could give you the freedom that no one else could? And that witness for us is Christ. Jesus, the Son of God. The one who died and rose again for us. We receive a righteousness of Christ given to us because of God's mercy. A righteousness that we don't deserve. A righteousness that we cannot earn. A righteousness that we will never be able to earn. No matter all the good deeds, no matter all the good thoughts, no matter how you live your life from this point on, you still won't deserve the grace you've already been shown. Much less the grace that's still to come for you in your life upon the loss of this life, the entrance to eternal life. God clothes us in His righteousness. He cleanses us so that though our sins are as scarlet, they're as white as snow, we're told in the Scriptures. And He says, of all the righteous people there have ever been in the world, when He looks at us, He looks at us through Christ, and He says, these are them. He declares us righteous because of what Jesus has done. How will you live your life now? God has said, we find the defendant not guilty. And He brings His gavel down. And it's done. He's given you your life back. Today, in your confession, today in receiving His body and blood, today in remembering your baptism, He's given you your life back. Live it. Live it for Him. Live it to the fullest, but live it the right way. Live it according to His word, and live it joyfully. In Jesus' name, amen.